Well, Mike, first of all, anyway, it is great to be talking to you. And listen, we'll start off with a bit of football. You were a Kerry minor for 2 years. You played in 72 and 73. Talk about those years, Mike, and how you got on the Kerry minors.
Well, we played for St Brendan's, and we went to the All-Ireland final against St Pat's Cavan in 1972. And so I suppose, how I got enthusiastic and got known. Jimmy Hagerty, father, was a priest there, and he was also, I think, in charge of the minors that year. So we were brought to the trials in Tralee. And from that, I suppose, I don't know how I was selected, but I was selected anyway for the Kerry minors. And we played Tipperary in the first match, and then Cork beat us in the Munster final in Killarney.
But that was a great team, Mike. You were playing with some great legendary footballers.
Yes, we had there were very good players. There was Mikey Sheehy and Shawnee Walsh and Ogie Morn, and then of course Brendan's had Pat Spillane and Paddy Shea, and I think Paddy Bond Brosnan son was playing in the full back, and there was Lawrence O'Donoghue from Killarney was playing centre field, and they were the ones I remember most anyway.
So you were beating McCart and Lartimer and Paddy Shea, of course. You became very you were great friends, and you met after that, didn't you?
Well, Paddy was always very, very friendly with everybody, and he's a great personality, humanity. So if you met him, he'd talk away to you. And my brother Joe as well was in the same class with him in Brendan's.
You mentioned the word there, Paddy Shea and humanity, Mike. Explain that to us.
Well, Paddy, of course, spoke out his mind, and he was very enthusiastic, and he was friendly with everybody, and therefore he was a kind of an attractive character. So he was also he was a very strong player and great stamina, and in that sense he was always very keen in whatever he did.
Were you shocked when you heard of his sudden death?
Well, I was, yeah, because it was a shock, because you don't expect the person to go that fast, and he's around the same age as myself as well, so it was a shock.
And then in 1973, you were the captain of the Kerry minor team, because you had been on the East Kerry team that won the county championship, and you, the late Lawrence O'Donoghue was your partner in midfield, and you were picked in to represent Kerry, and you were captain.
That's right, yeah. We were, I suppose, it was given to the Legion, Donald Brosnan and myself were picked for the Kerry minors again. So it was it just happened that way. But we got going again that year, but we were very disappointed, of course, to lose again to Cork.
And when all this was happening, Mike, your vocation was developing, is that right?
Well, the second year, I was already in Dalgan Park with the Columbans. And so when I came home in the summer, then I went to play in the team. And I don't know, yeah, I was in Dalgan that year, so I didn't do much training or anything. But still in all, when I came home, I was put on the team, so... And that was it then. So, yeah, well, at that time, it was a different life. We were kind of, I had moved away from Killarney. I was up in Navan. So we were kind of caught a bit cut off from the football then, when I was up there. So gradually, kind of, while I missed not coming home for the matches and that, it was getting used to a different way and more centering on what was, I suppose, the spirituality part of life, and coming to know God more and reflecting on life, and participating in growing in spiritual.
Your father, Frank Howe, was the station master in Killarney Station for many years. And you told me one time that the Franciscan friary in Killarney had a big part to play in your life and helped you to develop your vocation.
Yeah, well, we were living at the station, at the railway station, and every morning you'd hear the friary bell going at 7:30 and then 7:45 for the 8 o'clock Mass. So during Lent, we went to Mass every day. Then we came home after Mass and had our breakfast, and then we're down in time for school. And I suppose we were doing that during Lent anyway. And of course, the bells were going every day, and we were always at Mass on Sundays. And we were all, some went to 8:30 Mass and others to 10:30 Mass in the friary. And everybody was going to Mass in those times. The whole world was going to Mass. Nobody stayed at home. So we were brought up in a very Christian atmosphere. And then we, first of all, we started school in the Presentation Sisters, then the Presentation Brothers, and then in St. Brendan's. So we were brought up with a very, an atmosphere of faith. And so was everybody else.
When you say we, might remind me how many were in your family?
Well,
or who were they?
Well, I'm the eldest of 8. We're 4 brothers and 4 sisters. So
what are their names?
Michael is my name, and then Joseph came after me, and Joseph and I played a lot with the Legion, and then after that, my sister Mary, and Carmel, then Brendan, Siobhan, Francis, and Deirdre.
When you were ordained in Mike, you were a Colombian missionary, and you opted for Chile, and you work with the Mapuche people out in Chile. Talk to us about landing in Chile. How difficult was it? And was it, you were very homesick, and the people that you work with there?
Yeah, in Chile. We were sent to Chile. I went out with another guy from Galway, and we were there for 2 years as students first, and in Santiago in the city. And it was later on I went to the south as a priest, down to the country people, the Mapuche people. But landing in Chile, we had to learn the Spanish language. So it took a bit of work. We hadn't studied Spanish before, and getting to know the ways of life of the people and the way of the church. So there were difficult times because there was a military dictatorship. So, but it took about a year to learn the language, to understand what people were saying and to be able to speak. And then after 2 years, one had a bit of confidence, fairly good bit of confidence in the language. So I played football as well, soccer, of course, out there for a few years. And my first years, I had the 12 o'clock Mass, and we had to be on the field at 1:30. So I did the Mass fairly fast. And the people thought I had the jersey on inside Mass because they used to see me going out on a bicycle with the boots on the bike. And they figured out I must have had the jersey on already going out from Mass. But we had to be at the match. Every match in Chile starts on time. So it's one of the few things to start on time, but all the football matches start on time in Chile.
So, when you were working with the Mapuche people, Mike, you learned a lot about their culture. You learned how to plough, and you learned how to sow, and you learned talk to us about what you learned with them.
Yeah, the Mapuche people are the indigenous people in the south of Chile, and they are a people that have been marginated because much of their land was taken from them in plantations of the land, and they were left with the poorer land on the coast and on the mountains. So each family might have 3 or 4 hectares, that I suppose about 7 or 8 acres at the most. So they had subsistence living. They sowed potatoes. They kept 1 or 2 animals and a few sheep, and always pigs as well. So they set beans and potatoes, and they lived on that. So the oxen, they ploughed the land with oxen. They set a bit of wheat, and then you cut the wheat with a sickle because the land is very hilly. So the wheat then is brought to the mill, and they come home with the flour. And so there's a thrashing, and all of that goes on for the wheat. So it's they all live as neighbours to each other, and they share. The land is not fenced often, so people have to mind their animals from going into what's the wheat or the whatever is sown there. And so they're out in the fields most of the day.
And you would have worked in the fields with them, Michael?
Oh, yeah, in the summertime when you go out visiting or spend a bit of time out there. Yeah, be out there with them, yeah, doing a bit of work and sharing their life, yeah. And I enjoyed that, I must say.
And what message as a missionary did you set out to bring to them?
Well, one comes with their faith in Christ, and when it's not that you come to, you have to learn what are the needs and what way the people are first, and they talk about inculturation of the gospel. But what I noticed about the small communities in the country was the need for reconciliation, because many times over land and over animals breaking in and destroying the crops of their neighbour, there was developed difficult rows and resentments. And for that reason, there was always a great need to make up, to reconcile. So one of the greatest messages of Christianity is forgiveness and the need to forgive. And where people could forgive each other in the community, a community developed. But where they couldn't forgive, there was always great divisions and people stopped coming to Mass and stopped participating. But where they were able to forgive each other, there was great growth, and a lot of the communities developed in their faith as well. So in that sense, one of the greatest messages of Christianity is that capacity to be able to get on with each other and to forgive each other, because there's always a need. There's always great needs to forgive. Many, many things happen in the community which tend to divide people and separate people. Many things. And some are great, some are very great things and small things. And there's a tremendous need. And the great message of Christianity for the Mapuche people, I discovered, was that they, if they could come to shake hands and start again. And that was one of the messages we were trying to, that would come, because the people had faith before the Christianity arrived. But that is the great message of Christianity, to bring people together as a community.
And you spent 15 years with those people, Mike. Did, yeah. And before you left, did you feel that you had got through the message that you were trying to get through?
Oh, the message of the Lord always gets through, because the message, it is the Lord himself the Lord himself is there. He is always there reaching out to people. And that message didn't start with us. It was the evangelization of the Mapuche people began with the German Capuchins. around 1845. That was the first evangelization. And from then on it grew. There was a lot of, they went through a lot of difficult times, and they were often rejected, as often the case with us too. But they began to defend those people and their rights for their land, and that they wouldn't be thrown off their land. And so in that sense, the message, there was a love for the church developed over the years. And when we were there, we continued on that work. And that love for the church was there and is there, so that the people themselves now feel the church is their own. They're not depending on, like, they feel that the church belongs to them, that each baptized person feels the church is mine. And it doesn't depend always on the priest, but on the faith of the community.
Mike, I often wonder when I think and I meet all the great Kerry farmer footballers and Kerry people who have become missionaries and gone out farming to all those foreign lands and spread the gospel, what has it meant to you and to them? What has the GA have meant? What has it done for you? What has Kerry meant to you? What has it done for you? How has it helped you through your life in the missionaries, both in the GA and being from Kerry?
Well, it's always very, very beneficial to have played football. And in the case of me, being on the Kerry minors has brought me great benefits. For example, I was visiting Lima, some of the Columbans out there one time, and John Ahern was there. He's from Farnfour, and he was out there working
he's
at
in
the
Manchester
time.
Now.
And John O'Connell is out there in Lima now. He's from Baradoof. They were talking one night, and they said, "Oh, you were the only one that could mark Pat Spillane, huh?" I said, "Where did they hear that? That is impossible."
Yeah.
but of course, they'd be exaggerating, but somehow they had that idea. So things like that. And the other day, Mickey Ned's sister, Noreen Durandus Roptimus, she mentioned to a priest out in Father Coffey, that's out in New York.
From Beaufort.
Yeah. That I played with the Kerry Miners. So he wrote to me and he said, "We're going to run a golf tournament and you're going to be one of the beneficiaries of the golf tournament that we're going to run."
Wow.
So they're going to send me out something. Wow. So I said to myself, "God, that was great now. And just what football does for you, you know." Having played football for Kerry.
And being a Kerry man then and a Killarney man, Mike, would that have come into it?
Well, yeah, the football is certainly great training. It certainly gets you to know yourself. It's amazing how football allows you to know yourself, your weaknesses and your strong points. You get to know what kind of a character you are, and whether you're brave or you're afraid, or whether you're strong or what way you are. And the thing is that it teaches you to play, to be a part of a team as well, not an individual, and also to be able to win or lose. And it forms your character. It's a great thing. And I suppose it's a marvelous thing, the sport, for growing up. I suppose it's. I'm delighted to see the young people playing football. One of the things, though, I'm not too sure about is that I see that they're all training. The training can take over from the Sunday Mass, and that those, while we're all Catholics, and many is the time I see now that it can be put before football can be put before our Sunday Mass. And I think that's, I'm certainly think that's a mistake. One of the, when I come home on holidays there a few years ago, I was at Mass in the Friary on a Sunday morning. It was the day of the Munster final. And I was so delighted to see all the Cork fellas going in Mass with their Cork jerseys on, you know, going up for communion. And I said to myself, really, that's marvellous, because, you know, you, sport is to be enjoyed, but what makes us enjoy life is our relationship with God. Because without that relationship with God, no matter what it is, it'll be a bit empty. But with the presence of God in our lives and the relationship with Him, really, there's great joy in sport, and in, you can see things, and there's great friendship developed. But if God is left out, if He's not first and foremost, then sport becomes just a competition, and you have to win, and the whole friendship goes out of it as well, and the young people are left empty.
Well said, Mike. Yeah. You've spent 15 years with the Mapuche people, and after those 15 years, you were transferred to a different part of Chile, and you're home in Killarney now on holidays at the moment. Where are you now, Mike, and what's your work like where you are at the moment?
Well, now I'm in the north of Chile in the Atacama Desert. It's the driest desert in the world. It's a, Iquique is a city towards in the very north on the coast, and above it is a city called Alto Hospicio. And that's where I am. There's 90,000 people living there, and a new city, because 20 years ago it didn't exist. But many people are coming there for work on the mines, the copper mines, which have grown, and the port as well as some tourism as well. So the people there, we have a parish. The Columbans have a parish there, and they've been there in the Iquique since about the 1980s. And we're trying to build up communities, basic Christian communities, and in the communities, there's many people are responsible for the community. There are many people participating in ministries in the community, preparing people for baptism, other families preparing people for marriage or preparing for First Communion, and trying to bring on the emphasis is on being disciples of Christ, following Christ, and an encounter with the living Christ. So the big emphasis on formation, so that people will encounter Jesus Christ and be able to relate, have a life of prayer and a life of discipleship with Him and in community. And then from that community, to be able to reach out to others and kind of reach out to those who are in need of that love of God, you know, and that love of people.
If you had your choice starting over again now, Mike, would you still have become a Colombian missionary? Is it a tough life, and is your life where you are now, is it difficult?
Yeah, well, there are things that you sometimes wonder, all right, whether some doubts come in often, doubts whether what one is doing is... whether this is the life, but in faith, I suppose there is a confidence in God's love for everybody and for myself, and I see that in that confidence, in that love, it is the part that of being united with God. There can't be anything more valuable than that, that to be close to God, because God is the reason why we exist, and who sustains us in every moment, and all beauty and all love is through Him and with Him. So therefore, in that there was a great growth in spirituality by this type of life that I have come to live. So I'm happy that that has been my life. There is sacrifice, of course, but there is great bonding with people and communities.
You keep in touch with Kerry all the time when you're so far away, Mike. Your flight home was nearly 25 hours from Chile, so you're that far away. But you keep in touch with the football and you keep in touch with what's happening at home.
Oh, yeah, well, now, especially with the internet, I have a look at it on a Sunday night and see the results of the matches and your own program, your own writing for the Kerry Men. I see that on the internet. So I was enthusiastic as well there from now with Kerry at the moment, and to see Frank Walsh's son Dunica playing, and then Jamesy Dunne, the Legion fellas, of course. And
you were good friend with Dunica's father, and with the James's father.
That's right, and also with the Lyne, Jonathan Lyne, of course. So they're the local, but also of course we have to say with Owen Brosnan and Colin Cooper, because they are local fellas as well, and we know them, you know, and their families and that.
does football mean a lot to you all the time, Mike, being so far away? Is it important in your life?
Well, it is, but when you're living so far away and you're not talking about it every day with the fellas you live with, because we haven't much chance to talk about football, it goes into it's more of a entertainment, but it's not it's really when you come home and see the young fellas now playing, and that it comes back again.
Have you met any of the Kerry footballers since you came home?
Well, I haven't met. I went up to see the match the other day with Waterford. Not with Waterford, but with Tipperary. Yeah,
come here. We were talking there earlier on, and when you came home to Killarney, would I be wrong in saying that you were not alone astounded, but maybe happy visiting the Friary and seeing the great fate by so many people?
Yes. I was in the Friary and also in the Cathedral, and I was in Rathmore for the Monks Mind of Owen O'Leary, the Columban priest. And what I see in the people is a deep faith, those going to Mass, and so many people receiving communion. It's very impressive for me, because Ireland has got such a bad press outside as regards the church. But coming home to Killarney and seeing the people here, it's marvelous to see the participation and the in Mass, especially, because that's how I see it, and to see their love, you know, for God and for each other, and there is a great community in that sense, and that gives me also enthusiasm, and it makes me proud of it as well, and gives me strength to go back, because it's the way people participate here, and the tradition of faith is very nice to be able to participate myself with them, with the people, and share that faith as well, because that's the faith we came from.
So what's the future now for the man who captained the Kerry Miners in 1973? Where will your life lead you now, Mike? What do you see down the line?
What I see down the line is to not. What's down the line is to be united with God. That is to be close to God, and to know that He. He is guiding. He is the good shepherd, and bringing us on His way, And that is the happiness, to know that that he is guiding, being close to him. And in reality, I don't mind after that.
So you're heading back shortly now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going back now on the 16th of June. I'm looking forward to going back as well. It's great to have been home. Killarney looks beautiful with the rhododendrons and the flowers, the azaleas, and all the leaves on the trees now.
When you mentioned to me, Mike, you mentioned there about the rhododendrons and the leaves and the trees and everything. All that astounded you a bit, and it enriched you.
Oh, yeah, because it certainly is. Killarney is heaven's reflex. Killarney is heaven's reflex. It looks so beautiful. And you can, I suppose, really, the faith of the people goes with the beauty and the beauty that's here. You couldn't help but feel God's presence in the beauty of Killarney, and looking around at Muckross and the mountains and the lakes. And so it really is. There's a sense of God's peace, and so it is lovely to be around. And also, I thought myself when I went out to Muckross, it was around Pentecost. I was just home for the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, and I see all the different people walking around Muckross from all the different countries, and hear them talking. And the beautiful flowers and everything, I see that really God's Holy Spirit is working and alive and active in life and in all of the people.
Yeah. Would you like to finish up with a few words in Chilean, Mike, now, and say something to us?
I could. I could, yeah, of course, no problem. Mucho gracias, Wishi, por esta entrevista y... Estoy muy contento para estar aquí y deseo toda bendición para ti y todos los que escuchan este programa.
And Camille, would you like to wish the best of luck to Kerry in your own language now?
Yeah, well, I hope they do well now this year. I thought they were playing very well there against Tipperary. There was great enthusiasm. And I hope they do well. They keep playing like they were the other day. They should make a good shot at the All-Ireland this year.
Mike, listen, it was great to meet you again. Thanks. It was a tonic to meet you, and you're an inspiration, because I trained you when you were only 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 up along. And I always had a great fascination about Kerry footballers going out spreading the gospel in other parts of the world. There has been so many of them. And there's a great tradition in Kerry, and Kerry footballers going out far, isn't there, Mike?
There is. As you know, Tommy O'Hanlon is buried in Pakistan. And then there's a lot of people around Killarney. Charlie Maher, you know, is here, and from Killarney as well. And the Frank O'Leary is also buried in Chile, Owen's brother from Baradoof, and John O'Connell and those. But I suppose there's many Columbans were great footballers, played inter-county and are out in different countries like Japan and Korea. And Philippines, so several of them that played inter-county football. And so in that sense, there is that was the church and the GAA were always fairly well connected.
Listen, Mike, we look forward to talking to you again when you come home. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wishy. Yeah.